I'm going to start. I believe maybe in 2 weeks ago where I began when I was speaking, I think maybe a couple of Sundays sort of, on the change of our bodies, these vile bodies be changed moment, and the resurrection pretty much. But it's 1 John, the 5th chapter. So I'll use some of the thoughts that I had in that just a bit, but I want to add something to that and then try to bring those together. And as much as my mind may, my mind may work in a logical fashion, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I see this laid out here, but unless the Lord blesses it, our thoughts and where how we would set that up doesn't matter, but God can guide us in that, and so we'll just move through some of this quickly, and then bring together what I'd like to bring to you this morning. So 1 John chapter 5, let me just hit the 11th verse and jump to the 13th, and then I'll move on. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So He's given us eternal life. Can't bear, yesterday, different ministers talked about, both Paul and Peter talking about putting the brethren, the church in remembrance of these things, that so that we don't forget that we've been purged from our sins. And we don't forget. So we need to remember this, that we have been given eternal life, and we have it now. I believe that strengthens us to go on and to take that next step in our lives. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So if John wrote these things that we may know that we have eternal life, then we certainly can preach that today. So we're thankful for that. So I'll just put that, I put that stake in the ground right there. I guess I'll leave the stake there where it was a couple of weeks or so ago. Now in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. This says here, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So, and it doesn't say, and I like to make this point, maybe I have every time I've gone here, but I want to make this point. It doesn't say, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. So that means there must be some that have hope in Christ, but just in this life. And we have, I have hope in Christ in this life. I'm thinking of Sister Pam, what's coming up for her next week, next Wednesday, this surgery, this knee surgery and all. And I believe she certainly has hope in Christ that He will bless her and watch over, and the doctors and all that goes along with that. I've had that in the past where I have hope. But in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. Both Eleanor's kids, Stephanie and Tony, they must have hope in Christ, in the eternal life, right, which they've been given. Right. You have to have that, but yet everyone doesn't. So, and those that don't have that hope, then we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam, first man Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's Christ. That's the second man, Adam. For as in Adam, there we go, Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we know that. We know that. But we put you in remembrance so we remember that, so that we know it even more fully. We do that. And as ministers and each other. And he says in the 26th verse, I love that, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That it's going to be no longer. We won't have to face that anymore. Christ has already put death to death. That's the power he has, and that's the power he gives us in this life, in that victory that he's given us. He's given us the victory that we can withstand the wiles of Satan. We can withstand even the smallest distraction of serving God here and being drawn off somewhere. And there's plenty to do that. And so this is all talking about in that first, that 19th verse that I read there. I know that that we have hope in the resurrection. I think of the interaction when Christ came back after Lazarus had died and was dead for 4 days, four nights, and he's talking about that he is the resurrection, and Mary and Martha, and that exchange there, and that, yes, we believe in the resurrection and so forth. They had hope in that, so that's what this is. Now, let me pivot here and go back to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Again, this first verse of the 5th chapter was my text a couple weeks ago. So, and we'll go on to something else that has been placed on my mind. But remember that hope that we have in the resurrection, and Christ is the resurrection. And that's that these bodies will be changed, that he's going to call our names, and then our bodies will rise from the grave, or those that remain will then, after that, then answer that call. All that's in a moment, in twinkling of an eye. So we have a hope in that. But there's something else. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So again, we've had that, and we think about our glorified body. I can't even fathom that, of worshiping God. Think about that, sitting here right now, y'all sitting here right now, in total perfection, soul, spirit, and body. We don't do that. We're still riddled with sin. That's why we're going to die. That's why we die. That's all. There's Adam. It entered the world. And so he brought sin and death. Jesus Christ brought life. Now then, in the second verse. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So that heavenly, that glorified body, we groan for that. We groan for that. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. So this is still talking about that bodily resurrection there. And let me bring this out in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 84. Sonny Huckabee yesterday preached out of Psalm 84, the first four verses. But I think one verse here I want to get. And he applied this. This is talking about the tabernacles, the altars. Remember in the temple and the tabernacles and all of the altars in there and so forth. But then he connected it over and kind of shone a light on the church here. So in that second verse of the 84th Psalm, says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Tell you what, if we don't have eternal life, if we're not one of those that Christ gave that eternal life to, and that we've been born again, we're not going to long, certainly for the church, for the courts of the Lord, or cry out for the living God. But if we have that, if we have that eternal life, but there's a longing there, as the second verse of the fifth chapter of Second Corinthians, we groan for that resurrection. But right now, and there are many times, this actually may be an experience, a story that I've never told before. Privately, I have. I think Brother Ronnie's aware of it and all. But it concerns this church. But it's talking about longing. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Longing for that. There was, and I cannot remember which year. Other people have better memories. It doesn't matter. But it was, Kathy and I lived down here where we live now. So it had to be after 2008. But this church, Brother Bryce was pastor, was holding an annual meeting. And it was Friday night of that meeting. And there was church here that night. Also, the church out at Whitesboro, where Elder John Mark Clark is pastor, Sister Lynette's a member out there, his wife and all, and they were also having a meeting that week, and I couldn't get out there after Friday night traffic and all that. That night, if there was a time where I was longing for the courts of the Lord, it was that night. And I couldn't get out there, but I knew that this church was holding services. I don't think I'd ever been in this church house before that night. And so I've got to get to church. I've got to be in church. It was a longing, a groaning. I'm not even talking about heaven now. I guess it's heaven on earth. So I came. I came that night. I knew a few, but not many. I sat right over there. I think where Sister Pam is sitting. Pam Ellis is sitting, and heard the singing and the preaching and so forth. And then I left and went home. And the Lord fed me. And the next day, Saturday, I drove out to Whitesboro to that meeting and was blessed in that. But I was longing for the courts of the Lord, the church, and this is where I knew. I fully expected the Lord to be here, and He blessed me in doing that. We need to do that. I tell you what, if you ever long to be at church, and there's a church around, I'll go ahead and I hope you don't mind, Brother Jeff, and he talked about this, but in the baseball games and so forth that Brother Ty goes to and everything. Tell you what, when there is a church nearby and the timing is right and everything, they go to that church. If it's in Louisville or wherever it may be, they'll go to church. That's called faithfulness and the service of God. When we long for the courts of the Lord, that's a good thing. I'm spending too much time on this, but this that reminded me of the groaning back here. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And then now we have right now in the church. But let me go to Philippians, the third chapter. I'll tell you, there was a question sent, or I guess a homework assignment for me from one of our members, as I have actually fulfilled this same assignment before for a different pupil. But in this, I'm going to the 20th verse in a moment, the third chapter of Philippians. I just wound up diving down into this and then went on to this other thought, which I'm going to get into. I still got some time. And I count that a blessing. Anyway, let me just move on then. So this is one of those experiences this week when I tried to answer that question. And to tell you what, someone's taking a real chance when they ask a preacher a question, just open-ended. We don't know what kind of detail are they wanting. Or is this more of a I would say, secular answer or a scriptural and all that's like, well, you just answer it, give them so much to get something out of that, you know, out of that answer. And all. Sometimes it happens in the pulpit. So the 20th verse says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation is in heaven. It doesn't have anything to do with talking, conversation. I think the first basic definition that of today's vernacular and so forth that we think of, well, I have a conversation with somebody. You talk to them back and forth. There's some conversations that it's like seem like I'm not conversing. They're doing all the talking, and they ask me a question and all, and so there's a conversation of back and forth. That's not what this is. It's citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. So as a citizen of whatever entity that is, a city, a nation, a country, heaven, you have, that citizen has all of the rights and responsibilities of that country. Whatever entity that is, heaven. And so that's what citizenship is. You have the rights and responsibilities. You are a citizen of whatever entity that is. So we know, and we should continue to know and dive into it, we know that our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. When someone dies, we'll word it many times, they've gone home to be with the Lord. Well, that's scriptural. That is our home. This is not, we're sojourners and pilgrims here. That's why it's, you know, sometimes you will be in a situation somewhere and it's you feel an awkwardness or something. Well, that's why there's somewhat of an awkwardness here. It's like we're drawn there. We groan and we long for that, but we're still here. And yet we're drawn to this world as well. Many, many good things that are godly. And so we're not just wicked things. Now, in Acts, the 16th chapter, just speaking of citizenship, let me run this by you some. Acts chapter 16, the 12th verse says, "And from the apostle Paul is talking about here, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." So they traveled there. We know all this. He traveled there, established a church in Philippi. But it was a colony. It was a Roman colony in Macedonia. So here's this. So all of those people there were citizens of Rome in Philippi. Not all of them, you know, all these. It was a colony of Rome, so many Roman citizens. They had all the rights and the responsibilities of being a Roman citizen there. Now, so it was a colony. In the 19th verse, the same chapter, Paul... you know, there's an experience, a scene here, some things happened, and I don't want to get into that. I think I have covered this before. But he ruined a good thing that some of these men had here. The damsel possessed with a spirit, the divination, and Paul fixed that. Well, it ruined these guys' business. Thanks a lot for that. And in the 19th verse, "And when her masters..." this damsel, and they saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Their livelihood was gone. You talking about right now, everyone's talking about reduction in force, you know, and the federal government and so forth and all. That was a reduction in force. There was no need for that business anymore because she's gone. Hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Well, really? The whole city? Maybe it's just y'all that, you know, and we tend to do that. We're going to exaggerate some to make this a bigger deal than it was. They've taken away our livelihood is what they've done. But, oh, they're troubling the whole city. And teach they, it's Paul and Silas, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, being Romans, neither to observe, being Romans, it says. So these customs and all that they're teaching here, and it's not lawful for them, it's not of Asia or Macedonia, it's Rome. It's their responsibilities and their customs and their rights as citizens. So the multitude rose up together against them. Magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So they beat them. They put them in prison and so forth. That's what happened to them. Now, in the 37th verse, so all that happened at that point. 37th verse says, but Paul said, he was talking about the keeper of the prison and magistrates and so forth, and they wanted to let him go. They said, go ahead and let him go. They found out Paul was a Roman citizen. They had made a huge mistake. They could not beat him like they did physically because he's a Roman. He had all the rights and responsibilities of being a Roman citizen. It says, but Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and cast us into prison. So he called upon that in his physical, literal life here while Paul walked this and while he was serving God as an apostle, he used that citizenship in this. But he'd already been beaten and look at what all he had taken upon himself in service to God, even being a Roman citizen. And where might he have been at this time had he not asked the Lord, what would thou have me to do? And then he counted all that other as dung. It's nothing to me. He chose Jesus Christ only because God had chosen him and because God, through the Holy Ghost, had touched him and applied the blood of Christ that had been shed to the Apostle Paul. Now, going back to, so we have that citizenship there. But going back to Philippians, the third chapter. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. So this is still talking about those vile bodies. It's going to be changed, the resurrection, glorified bodies, that same old subject a couple of Sundays ago. Right there. But let me grab something real quick and turning over a couple of pages in mine, I think. No, just one page. The first chapter of Philippians, speaking of this conversation, this should flow. Okay, I think I'm going to go to the 23rd verse. Hang on to that longing and that groaning, that longing and the groaning, earnestly desiring for this change in our bodies that I just mentioned there in Philippians. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, Paul says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul realized that. There's a drawing of both. The body is going to try to live. It's going to do everything it can. Even if we're taking care of it, if we're not drinking as we should, so we're dehydrated or not eating so many times, I'm thinking specifically older folks would just quit eating and all. We know the physical toll on the body, but it's still trying. It is going to keep breathing as long as it can. It's hanging on to this earth. But there's a part of us, the soul and spirit, we're betwixt these two, having a desire to go on and be with Christ. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We realize that. So since it sounds like Paul's, settled in this and resolved. I'm here. I'm not here. I'm not going on yet. He hadn't called me. It's not my time. And he's realized that. But there's while we are here, and while we are already your citizens of heaven, rights and responsibilities, not just rights, responsibilities. So there's this word conversation, but a different one in the Greek in the 27th verse. Only let your conversation, your behavior here, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that it should be becoming to Him. It should adorn Him. And yesterday, Brother Philip Conley preached on marriage and the husband and wife, and related that to the church, Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ, and so forth. And very, very beautiful, and brought out some wonderful thoughts. Blessed in that. So there's a certain behavior here for us, I thought of the word beloved and so forth, and to adore them, our brides or our husband, and so forth, and just as Christ does. But so jumping back over now to around the 20th verse here in the third chapter, Philippians. In all of that, all I've talked about is the resurrection of the body and groaning for that and so forth. And I understand that, and I do look forward to that. But that's at the time of my death, this body is first, before the resurrection, it's going to go back to the dust. It's going to be buried and go back to the dust and so forth. And so we have a hope of the resurrection. But we have this second hope, I'll say, as I work through this, the second hope in the fact that when our body dies, our soul and spirit regenerated is in a moment in heaven, where our citizenship is. It does go home. It does go home there. And yet, it's a second hope, but it's not the hope. It's the same hope. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. So we hang on to that hope. I think about in Luke 23, around the 40th verse or so, where Jesus hanging on the cross, and he tells that criminal there, Jesus Christ tells a thief, a criminal, he tells, Jesus speaks to a child of God and tells him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That day, he was going to be no time, not even tomorrow, the next day. No, it was that day, which tells me that that thief's natural life ended that day, because he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's heaven. That's where that criminal's home and his citizenship was and is. He's there. So we have a hope in that. God Almighty gives us that through His mercy. If I just thought, okay, when I die, I don't know where my soul and spirit, where my life goes at that point, but so I groan for the resurrection so that my body can be raised. And so, no, our soul and spirit immediately is in heaven. It's with God. You will see Jesus Christ, your Savior. I don't know. I know it says we will know even as we are known and so forth and all. I don't know what all. No one knows the depths of heaven and the details of that, of being there and so forth. I have my hopes and all, but I know I'm going to be not 99% satisfied, but 100% satisfied. So it doesn't matter really what it is, if this is there or that's there or not. And you know, we have songs, Streets of Gold and so forth. I don't know. It's because that's precious to us and everything. That's the only way we can look at stuff like that. So before the resurrection, we have this hope. That and I tell you what, the other night, Wednesday night, going over to that evening to see, me and Kathy went to see Sister Eleanor and really to see the family. She was unconscious the entire time and all, but we visited with Tony and his sister Stephanie for a while, and then people came out she was in intensive care. And also a couple of people. We went in with Tony and all. So one thing that I saw that, and I've seen this before in the hospital and so forth, but and my mom had this same thing. But on Sister Eleanor's arm, she had a band on her arm. And it said DNR. We know, a lot of people know in here. I won't say you're old, but we all know what that is. We know that. Do not resuscitate. And so my mom had that as well. So many do. And what my point in this is that Sister Eleanor, knowing she knows where her citizenship is, it's in heaven. That's where her home is right now. Yesterday, day before, today, when she does, she actually becomes conscious, and then she'll say she wants to go home. And somebody say, "Oh, this is your home? You mean there?" "No, no." And she say, "Home, home." She wants to be where Christ is. That's her home. She has that right now, and that's a comfort to her. Her body is still hanging on. She has been riddled with bodily diseases. She had a stroke. I mean, all this stuff, and she's still hanging on there. But she does not long for this world. She longs for that world. We long, our soul longeth for the courts of the Lord. And that's them there. We're thankful for this. Don't keep me here. And we understand that. If I thought, though, that someone, if someone, not just her, I don't want to concentrate just on mine, but anyone, if I thought, well, they haven't yet done their part. You're already shaking your head. Done their part to get to heaven. Whoa, she may need a few more minutes. No, don't, not yet. No, it's at any time the Lord calls her home, then He is ready. If we don't think His timing is perfect, you look at the cross. You see when Christ laid down His life for you. He knew the moment, and He did it. The sacrifice has been accepted, and am able to lay down my life for the sheep. And yet He hasn't forsaken us. He is still with those. And over in Fort Worth, where she is, He is also with the other countless other people that are in those saints-like circumstances right now, is with them. So we have the hope that today, that day, whatever that is, that He calls us home, that we'll be with Him in paradise. Really, in spite of everything we've done against Him, because He's done it all. He imputed his righteousness to our account. That's what we have now. That's what we have right now. Let me go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. In these, as the Apostle Paul's cataloging all of these, the faith of all of these faithful children of God here, down about the 13th verse, speaking of them, he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They confess that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They understood that back then. And he just finished talking about Sarah right here. But they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. If they're strangers and pilgrims on the entire earth then, well, where's their home? Their home is in heaven. That's where their citizenship is and was. And that's where their soul and spirit is right now. They're there. Right now. So their home is in heaven. Yesterday down at Corsicana, they called on me to lead a song or two. And so I led a song that my dad, by the time he died back in 91, he had worn out this song. Well, I won't say he didn't because I love it. "Heaven is my home. Heaven is my home. There at my Savior's side, heaven is my home." Who of us would want to remove someone from our Savior's side, right, bring him back to this? No. "They're by my Savior's side. There at my Savior's side, heaven is my home. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." They seek a country. Don't bring me back. If this body dies, don't you dare. Because I tell you what, the medical technology and so forth, we know people are brought back. I don't know how many every day. No, because we seek a country. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out," well, not heaven here, "they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. They desire another country. It's a country where their citizenship is. That's their home. That's our home. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." He hath prepared for them a city. There's the longing that we have for that home. And certainly we hope in and the resurrection. It's all over. God will destroy his creation here, this earth and so forth, but not before he called Jesus Christ, comes himself in the sky. I might as well just close with this. If I can get to it. 1 Thessalonians. 4th chapter, 16th verse. "For the Lord himself," that's what reminded me of this, "the Lord himself is not going to send anybody." I would think, well, okay, I saved these my children, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, and all. I'm going to get them. He's coming himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I just wonder what that's going to sound like, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, those that are already buried. And he's going to find them. This came up yesterday because this subject came up. I know what it was. Yeah, we were talking about, well, different things, but that, and one of the brothers said, well, yeah, just imagine where so-and-so's body is now. It's non-existent. Dust. It turns back into dust. That's where we came from. Might as well do that. Turns to dust. When Jesus calls their name, they're going to come from that. And in a moment, there's no process or anything. He'll do it. Then, after the dead in Christ rise first, then we, which are alive, and I don't know if Paul thought he would be alive. He says we. He includes himself. I'm not going to interject there. It doesn't matter. We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So we're going to go up there to meet the Lord in the air. So right now, let's stop that twinkling of a process right there, if I can kind of mix words up there. But in that moment, so right now we're left in the air. We're in the air. Jesus isn't down here. We're no longer down here. Our bodies are up there in the air. It's real. Just the reading here is simple. The KJV is not, it's not difficult here. Meet the Lord in the air. It's like, oh, well, where's the part where he comes back down here and sets up a kingdom and everything? Well, I'll tell you what, he set up a kingdom already. He did that. It's here when he walked. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is the eternal life that we already have, but our bodies will be glorified. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to be there. We're going to meet him in the air and go on and be with him forevermore. In perfection, in satisfaction, and we will honor him, glorify him as we should, acknowledge his glory. Yes, we do that here in that behavior that I talked about, in being a citizen, the responsibilities of being a citizen of heaven. Then we're to do this. We should come and do what we know is right. And it's not anything extra. It's our reasonable service. But he lifts us up. When we're troubled on every side, cast down, but not destroyed. May God bless and keep you.